I'm Dylan.
And I'm Keon.
And this is Trust Your Doctor, that podcast with a pandemic that started in China, because this week we watched Praxeus.
Written by Pete McTeague and Chris Chibnall.
Directed by Jamie Mangus Stone.
And aired on February 2nd, 2020, a lifetime ago.
I mean, really, like, think of how much has happened since then. It's only been not even 2 months, and the world is falling apart since then.
Yeah, you know how...
Literally falling apart.
You know how I always say, like, yeah, 5 minutes is like 5 years. It's just some stupid shit like that. Like, no, this is... Like, the last week has actually felt like 5 months. Like, I had no idea before now.
Yeah, I had no idea what it was like to be in an apocalypse until now.
And here we are breaking quarantine to bring this podcast to you.
For the last time. After this, we're going to figure something out that requires not breaking quarantine to record this podcast.
Yeah, expect a dip in audio quality after this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But an increase in safety.
Yeah. We're going to be safe bringing this podcast to you. Unless this recording this very episode kills both of us. Because yeah. It's just... One of us just already has the virus and spreads it to the other right now. We're sitting like a further distance apart than normal. I'm like unable to turn my head to actually look at Keon in this orientation.
You could actually turn even farther. Like you could turn the other way and I would be A-okay with that.
You would be looking at the back of my
head. That would be fine.
There's like no table space over here for me to move any further. Yeah, so that's the quarantine setup right now. And we're gonna see what happens.
Yeah.
I know I made a joke on Twitter that the coronavirus couldn't even stop Trust Your Doctor, but turns out that might not be true. Turns out that might not be true. 56% of California, let's go.
That's how much is projected to get it, I guess. I just
in the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Let alone. But as long as we quarantine ourselves in our home. Speaking of which, let's just take a sidebar here to mention that I'm losing my mind. I'm editing the podcast at like 8 in the morning because I have nothing else to do. This is like revolutionary for my productivity.
I've actually been busier than ever, just to give a little update here. So basically I'm like a freelance writer slash marketer. I also do like marketing stuff and like marketing graphics kind of, but mostly the writing. And I've been like making a shit ton of... Sorry to cuss. I'm just a little unhinged right now. I've just been making like a ton of money right now because all my like clients are trying to get out coronavirus messaging as quickly as possible. And I've just been like raking in the cash.
I get paid a fixed rate, but I've been way more productive than usual as well. Because I've been sitting there like, damn, what do I want to do? And I'm like, I could play video games, could read a book. But both of those are like too mind-numbing. So then I just decide to do work instead.
Wow.
It's like 10,
books isn't mind-numbing.
10 at night, my research advisor's messaging me like, hey, found this thing that might be useful. I'm like, cool. And I'm like, I'll investigate. And an hour later, I'm like knee-deep in web development code. Yeah, I'm a web developer now. Fun fact, unintentionally. So it's great. Literally losing my mind. So it's good times. I don't go to bed till like 2 in the morning now. Wake up at 10. Completely screwed my sleep schedule.
God.
It's interesting, now that I think about it, that Trust Your Doctor serves as kind of a little microcosm of our lives. Like, if you listen to it from the beginning, you would hear a lot. You know, thinking back to where we were when we started this podcast, I've been through a lot. We've been through the entirety of undergrad.
Yeah. Graduated high school and college through this podcast.
I'm a grad student now. You're doing freelance work? Damn. I've been through a whole relationship in that time? Whack. Anyway, Praxeus.
Weirdly, like, on-the-nose episode for all of this. Because it's about a plague that gets stopped, unlike this one. Okay, so it starts actually where the last one left off with, you know, crises across continents.
Yeah, across the globe. People are panicking, rightfully so, but they're panicking. My first note is I actually have no idea what this week's episode is about. The things were better that way.
Yeah, this wasn't a great episode. It starts with this guy on a spaceship, and he's just hurtling towards the Earth, probably about to die. But then we cut... like in a very abrupt way to a like a fight at a
the grocery store.
Wow, now that I say that, oh man. Wow. Breaking out the crystal ball with this episode.
Pete McTeague, do you have something to say?
So, like, a few minutes into this, I was just like, did I just hallucinate that space scene? Like, what was that? Because it's not put into context at all.
Mm-hmm.
But we find out, so this, like, ex-cop, like, takes down this shoplifter at a grocery store.
Yeah. Ex-cop, should be noted. Ex-cop.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Peru... Yeah. A couple of travel vloggers are about to arrive at the scene of, like, the most beautiful river on planet Earth or whatever. And it's right. Just, like, a trash heap, just garbage everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. The one lady, I don't remember her name. Yeah. I actually barely know anyone's names in this episode Same except here, for Adam.
Yeah. Yep.
Because everyone's like, Adam! And I guess Jake...
And Suki.
Oh, yeah, and Suki. Anyway, so this one girl is like, wow, this is trash. The other girl's like, well, it didn't used to be. It's like, wow, I can already tell the message this episode's going to send.
Great. Well, kind of. I mean, kind of. So, okay, there are a lot of crows around. We don't really know what's up with that, yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
A lot of quantum shades, if you will.
That was a raven. That was a raven. Completely different. Wow. Weird. Crows are corvids, which is just one letter off from COVID-19. Pete? Pete? Pete?
Anyway, the guy who tackled the guy at the store... gets involved in an alternate reality game, kind of like how COVID-19 isn't real and is just an alternate reality simulation that the government has been running.
There was a Reddit thread yesterday that was like, it's April 1st and everyone in the world gets a text message, April Fools, let's do that again and just reset to January 1st, 2020. What do you do first? And everyone's like, well, the virus is already spreading, so probably nothing. Yeah, I read that Italy's doing really bad right now, but, you know, China didn't officially announce the virus until December, but apparently there was a doctor in Italy who's like, yeah, I had a couple weird, like, flu cases, or at least one in November that, like, wasn't really the flu and took 2 weeks to cure. And he's like, now that I realize COVID-19's a thing, that was probably the virus in Italy, like, in November. So, great. Anyway.
Yeah, I think what happens next is the guy gets a text. He sees a news report about an astronaut who's missing. The guy from the beginning who went missing. And he's very distraught over this. So we immediately know that he has some relation with this astronaut.
Right.
And he gets this text from presumably the astronaut saying, like, find me or something. And
well, then it's confirmed to be the astronaut because on the TV they're like, oh, it's Adam. Adam's missing.
Yeah.
And then Texas is like, it's me. It's Adam.
I mean, it could be a different Adam.
Meanwhile, the doctor is just on a beach.
In Madagascar.
And this guy just washes up on shore. And you kind of have to realize that it's like a major coincidence that this guy... washes up on this shore where this doctor who's, spoiler alert, is revealed to be in on the whole thing happens to be.
Doctor who's revealed to be in on the whole thing.
I mean, it is kind of like a massive coincidence when you think about it.
Guess so. Anyway, this guy, like, turns to stone and dies.
Yeah. And the doctor's like, well, that's weird. Guess there's nothing we can do about it, though. And they're like, oh, okay. And then Ryan contacts the doctor and is like, hey, found a person in the hospital. Because what happens is the next morning, Ryan and this girl meet and she's like, did you take my friend? And Ryan's like, no, actually, I just got here. I'm just looking for the weird stuff that's going on with the birds. And they go to the hospital and they find her friend dead on a slab in the hospital.
Right, with the same sort of, like, markings slash being turned to stone thing as the guy who died.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they have no clue what's going on. I have no clue what's going on at this point. The doctor busts in, and they kind of just get out of there.
Yeah, because what happens is the disease kind of reactivates because it's dormant at the moment. Because nothing's happening to the girl because she's dead. And it turns on and kills her, and she explodes the Navy guy.
Right. Meanwhile, Yaz and Graham have arrived. This is a little earlier, actually. They've arrived at the location that the guy got texted to go to in Hong Kong.
Which at first I thought was like just down the street, and he's like, oh, he just went like, you know, he's looking within the city he's in. Turns out later in the episode, he went like halfway around the world. So like the timeline this episode is working on is like really whack.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you didn't get that because the text told him to go to Hong Kong.
I was already checked out at that point.
Yeah, this is about the time where I started checking out because a lot of this, I don't know, I don't want to harp on this too much. Well, one, because I just don't, and two, because I kind of want to get out of this recording session, like, quickly. But
virus!
It's true. But, like, a lot of this episode was just felt very erratic, and I didn't like that about it.
I was fine with the erraticness. Is that a word?
I guess.
Erraticity. I'm just bastardizing the English language for my own purposes.
Hey, look,
here.
English language gives us tools to create new words, and a lot of languages don't, so leverage that.
I was fine with the hasty pace of this episode. What bothered me was the all-over-the-place acting. And the just,
yeah, the acting was pretty damn bad.
I think the doctor was fine. I think Jodie Whittaker was fine.
Yeah. Well, I'm more talking about the episode specific.
Yeah, I think the main characters were fine.
Yeah.
I think it was, yeah, the I almost said serial specific, wow, throwback. Story specific characters were not. So, but yeah, I was fine with the hastiness. What I didn't like was like the just, I don't know, I don't want to really like spoil the end of the episode at this point, but just the fact that like the tension in this episode is like completely manufactured because, I don't know, I would have felt more invested if like one of the main characters had gotten the virus and they're like racing against time to cure it. As far as the stakes are presented to us in the episode, it's just Adam. Like, we don't know of anybody else who actually has the disease. The doctor just keeps telling us that, like, the birds might spread the disease all around the world. Oh, no. But we don't see that. It's like, it's hard to believe when there's nothing indicating that she's telling the truth. And the only person in the episode who has the virus anymore at this point is Adam.
Yes.
Who, if he dies, no one will have the virus anymore.
Who cares? Well, it's also like, you know, why would you even care as a viewer?
Yeah. I mean, we care about Adam because I guess we're supposed to care about Jake, but, like, Jake is even worse than Adam. Like, I care even less about Jake. Like, at the end when Jake's flying the spaceship, I'm like, Jake, you fool, but I'm also like, Jake, who cares? But we're getting ahead of ourselves. I'm going to check back in with that thought at the end of the episode.
Yeah, so Yaz, Graham, and Jake go into the building and they find some alien tech and some guys with gas masks and hazmat suits.
I called them the futuristic plague doctors.
Yeah, they just...
Because that's what they look like.
They bust in, they start shooting. You know, talk about no tension. Even this scene has absolutely no tension whatsoever. Even the sound effects of the guns are just... They're not even like Star Wars blaster level. I don't know. I just felt it was done very poorly. And the cinematography was like all over the place. I didn't like it.
The thing is, you can have hasty episodes that still have tension, like Orphan 55, which this is an opinion that runs counter to like everything in fandom. But Orphan 55, I think, was an episode with a lot of tension in it.
Yeah.
And it was very hasty.
Tooth and Claw.
Tooth and Claw as well was a very hasty episode with a lot of tension. So it's not like the hastiness was necessarily the reason for why there's no tension here. It was just, I guess my point is that there was just no tension because of the way it was shot and like the dialogue. And
well, this episode also tries to cram a lot in with all the different locations and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I have to wonder like why.
Yeah, I have to wonder that as well.
Like this
Maybe
is
I guess it's just, I mean, it's about this pandemic, so I guess you kind of have to, you don't actually don't have to do that, but like, I don't know.
I
I just don't
mean,
know.
it's one of those episodes where it's one of those frustrating episodes where I think it's just kind of eh, but I can see a really good episode underneath, which is somewhat common for me. Anyway, I don't know. Like, there was no reason to start it with five different distress signals or whatever. Like, the doctor could have just gotten a distress. The doctor could have just gotten a distress signal from the damn submarine and then, like, landed, and everyone's got a disease, and she's like, "Oh no."
Yeah, that's another sort of plot point that, like, the submarine, I completely forgot that that was in the episode until right now. And that's, that's the thing, is
Yeah, that's
like,
because the Navy guy that the doctor finds in Madagascar, she was looking for because she knew the submarine disappeared and she was checking tide patterns for whether the survivors would wash up. And that's how she landed in Madagascar, which is presumably not the first place she checked. So.
anyway, they escape, but Yaz wants to go back and find out what the alien tech is.
Yeah, so Yaz and Graham call up the doctor and are like, "Hey, so I'm going to back up actually a little further because the doctor meets up with Ryan and is like, 'Hey, have you heard from Yaz yet? Because I haven't, and I'm getting worried.' And then Yaz contacts them and is like, 'Hey, we found this weird alien base in the middle of Hong Kong.' The doctor's like, 'What?' So they go there, and like you said, Yaz and Graham escape, but Yaz wants to go back.
Which she does. She and the travel vlogger go back in.
Just realize we never actually find out like what this like tablet looking thing that she wants to go back for like is.
Just a teleport device.
No, the teleport device was on the wall. This tablet was like something that she was taking off, and they had it with them when they see the alien like use the teleport device.
Oh,
So,
probably just something to do with their, experimental, testing equipment or whatever. I have no idea. But this is such a weird moment for Yaz too. A lot of the even the main characters felt a little off in this episode. They just felt very out of character in a lot of ways.
did Yaz feel out of character because she's never done anything before and you're like, wow, she's doing stuff now?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think giving Yaz something to do is, like, I think it's smart because we've never really seen her do much this season specifically. I think last season, obviously, she had, like, the Yaz episodes, and this season has been more focused on the doctor than the companion, so I think it's fine maybe that she hasn't done as much as last season because Graham and Ryan haven't either. But I think the justification for her doing it in this episode is like the reason why it kind of falls apart for me, because her justification is just like, I just want to go back and get it.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've never seen her be this like rash before.
Yeah.
Maybe if that continues, maybe this is the first inkling of something to come. We'll have to see, but this isn't established as far as I can tell.
Maybe Chris Chibnall's tackling the same thing that Moffat mentioned that one time where Rory's like, "You make all your companions into monsters." It wasn't exactly like that.
Maybe.
And maybe that's what Chibbers is going for here, where like Yaz is going to get really rash and it's going to be the doctor's fault why she's so rash. I mean, the doctor like commends her later when she meets up with her, kind of in a sarcastic way, but kind of not, where it's like, wow, look at you going into an alien spaceship and not getting killed. And that like could be seen as kind of reinforcing this brashness on Yaz's part that may lead to maybe what Chibnall's leading up to is that Yaz is just gonna freaking die, and that's the reason why Ryan and Graham are gonna leave.
Wow, yeah. Good.
I can see it happening. Like all the puzzle pieces are there. Maybe I'm fitting them together in the wrong order and that's what's coming out, but I could see it happening. When it happens, just remember that the Doctor Who is based on Trust Your Doctor podcast recordings.
Yeah. So what happens next is that they all go back to Madagascar and start like reverse engineering the disease or whatever.
Yeah.
And the one guy who we haven't even mentioned because he's so unimportant to anything that's going on, he's one of the, because we actually didn't even mention Suki. So Suki and this other guy, I forgot his name, are like researchers at this like beach side lab in Madagascar. And the guy goes outside and like gets attacked by the birds and dies. Birdemic style. No, I'm just kidding.
Except way better looking.
I don't even know like what Birdemic is really about. Is it just like birds dying and falling out of the sky?
Birds start attacking humans.
Oh, gotcha.
Except it's like really low budget, so. The funny thing, I don't know if this is actually funny, it might just be sad, is that the guy who made the movie genuinely thought he was making like a good movie, and it's just like, well, not even the low budgetness of it is the reason why it's bad. I mean, that's like, it contributes to the badness because the CG birds are like literally video game looking, but also just the terrible acting quality, the non-existent cinematography, the like complete lack of any sort of color grading for consistency between scenes.
Well, nobody really sets out to make a bad movie. And even if, yeah.
Were you about to say even if they do, they typically don't succeed?
I was going to say even if they do, then there's still that like smug like smirk behind the scenes of like, yeah, this is going to be bad, but like we know it's going to be bad, so it'll really be good. Like you can't get away from that.
I guess.
Anyway, they find out that the bacteria is from China. Supposedly.
Yeah, it's like a super alien bacteria, though.
Well, don't they find out that out later? Oh, well, actually, no, they find it out now because Ryan, like, dissects the bird, and there's a ton of plastic inside of it.
Which is just completely unrelated to the virus, the bacteria, like, at all. It's just...
It's not
just
completely
like,
unrelated.
It's well, I mean, it's unrelated. Like why the bacteria survives in the birds, but the doctor's like, the bird's just eating the plastic.
Yeah, this is actually, so this episode right now starts tackling the microplastics like thing and just plastic pollution in general. This is something I think about actually almost every single day is like how much plastic we're actually just breathing and eating and how much plastic there is like just all over the place and how it's like never going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
This episode tackles it in a very like dumb way, I think. Yeah. it's a real world problem.
Yeah.
It's just that this episode, like, is kind of dumb about it, in my opinion. We forgot to mention that this actually all starts with, like, a nature show-style, like, narration from the doctor of, like, Planet Earth, 7 billion lives, all connected.
I totally forgot about that.
What did Pete McTeague write last season? Was that the...
Kablam.
Kablam, yeah. Not the best writer.
Kablam was all right,
Kablam
though.
Kablam was all right. Yeah, it was.
Kablam was, like, at least fun. Kablam
yeah.
was fun.
Yeah, maybe it was Chibnall bringing this one down, dragging McTeague down with him.
Maybe?
Chibnall's written some duds.
Chibnall's written some great ones, too. Who could forget 42?
Yeah, well, look, Stephen Moffat is the only one.
Or Spyfall.
He's written some great episodes, but Stephen Moffat is the only, can't believe I'm saying this, but he's the only... He's the only one of the three showrunners who hasn't written like an all-out disaster episode.
I'm going to disagree with that one. I don't know, like Flesh and Stone. Flesh and Stone wasn't great.
It wasn't great, but it wasn't like...
Angels in Manhattan was not great either.
It wasn't, but like it wasn't like on the level of this or like Fear Her.
Chris Chibnall didn't really write this one either, though. He just is like credited as co-writer,
you know,
which like how much of this did he actually write?
You know,
man?
What? If his name is on it, then I'm counting it. Anyway, the doctor thinks it might be the Autons, but then discards that idea away.
I have a note here that's like, where is it? Story drops a way more interesting villain than what we're going to get, because I already knew at this point the reveal was going to be really underwhelming. Just based on the way the episode was going.
So, okay, what they figure out is that the bacteria controls plastic or something, and that's why it's been controlling...
It eats plastic.
Eats plastic, yeah. So that's why it's been able to control the birds, because they have plastic just inside them throughout.
We forgot to mention that Adam is... We actually totally forgot to mention that Yaz and Graham found...
Yeah.
And Jake found Adam... In that building in Hong Kong.
It's actually really funny that we didn't mention that.
Well, that just shows like how inconsequential he is. And he's with them now in the base in Madagascar, and he's also got the disease, but it's killing him slower, presumably because the aliens who are like experimenting on him. And they're trying to develop a cure for him to save him.
Right. So Jake and Graham actually have a little heart to heart. So, Graham really stepping into Yaz's shoes here and just having his own little moment with the one of these characters.
Graham's had heart to hearts before, but I'd be hard pressed to think of one off the top of my head.
Him and Yaz in Demons of the Punjab, I think,
Oh,
was
yeah.
a good one. Better than this, at least, because all right. So, what Jake drops here is that
Jake and
like.
Adam are married, we should mention.
Yeah, so they're married, but Jake is like, yeah, so never really been one for emotions or like connecting the what did he says
Connecting with people.
but he
He
says
doesn't
something
like travel.
exactly. It was like maybe you should have thought twice before getting married, like what were you thinking,
Yeah,
Jake?
Graham is even like, wow, you're such a catch, Adam.
And I had no absolutely no
Come back.
Not come. Well, no, I had absolutely no like interest in any of this. Like, honestly, didn't give two
Damn.
cares about Adam and Jake whatsoever.
Me neither. Really could not care less. Except for the fact that Jake, he could have done way better than Adam. Just saying. Just saying. A cop who, like, hates travel, shows no emotions, is on sabbatical for some unspecified reason, but might be because he uses undue force, given that he just tackles this kid who's just, like, shoplifting. Like,
Wait, okay,
whoa.
so wasn't Jake was the cop, right? And Adam was the
Sorry,
astronaut?
Jake, you're right, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Adam could have done way better than
Maybe
Jake.
Adam is just a terrible person. I mean, we know he's an astronaut, so that's like a big accomplishment, but maybe
He
that's like
seems
his
like the better of the two. I'm just gonna say that. Like, I'm just gonna put that out there. He seems like the better one of the two.
I guess.
He seems like when Jake describes him as his better half, it's true.
So, I forget how we are alerted to this fact, but it turns out that Suki is an alien and she.
Yes. Okay, so Yaz and this girl whose name I don't remember. Maybe it was Gabriella.
They wind up in like this Kasavan world looking thing. Another one of these like weird green sort of worlds.
For some reason that I don't really know, like why she decides to follow the aliens through the teleport. But yeah, she calls the doctor and is like, hey, there's like transmissions being sent. I don't know how Yaz figured this out from the spaceship, and they're being sent to two different places. One of them was to the lab in Hong Kong, and the other is to like Madagascar. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you? And the doctor's like, ha.
She turns around. Suki's like, I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Yeah, so at this point, the doctor's like come up with this with the dumbest cure possible to this because to defeat this bacteria, they decide there's two different viruses.
Whatever,
Viruses?
we get what you mean.
In the bird that are like the reason why the birds haven't completely crystallized yet is because there's these viruses that are like fighting off the bacteria, the space bacteria. So the doctor and Suki like, what if we take the two viruses that are fighting the bacteria and like merge them and make one super virus? And like this has never gone wrong in the history of like humanity. Merging diseases has never gone wrong. And so that's the doctor's idea of a cure. And I'm like, okay, this is a bad idea on so many levels.
Yeah, this is where I really started checking out. I just wanted to put that out there. Is like I was kind of checked out already, but this is like when they started having this discussion about the viruses and stuff, I was like, all right, how
And they
long is
decided to
this?
make a super bug to defeat the other bug. Great.
Yeah, kind of a weird like environmental thing is like, yeah, this episode has that environmental thing behind it, but like also guess what else is also like an environmental problem? Antibiotics creating super bacteria.
Which is probably going to get worse now that we're all washing our hands for 20 seconds, 50 times a day.
Yeah, that's actually what I was thinking is like COVID-19 is actually going to make like the superbug problem like way worse.
The weird thing about the way they're talking about splicing these viruses together is like also weird because there's a big debate amongst epidemiologists as well as biologists about whether viruses are actually alive or not because they're not made of cells.
Yeah, and there's like they just to add a little bit to this, they like fit on there's like four like criteria for life like biologists agree on or whatever, and viruses fall into like three of them, but not like the
Yeah.
fourth one or something, so.
So there's a big debate about whether or not they're like actually alive or not.
But like, are we really gonna say like, yeah, COVID-19 is alive, so like, let's not do shit about it? Like, you know, like, is that really gonna be the case?
No, it's just an interesting discussion because in this episode, they're like, what if we splice them together? I'm like, I'm not entirely sure that's how that works, especially with viruses. God. So, yeah, the worst part about COVID-19 is that everybody saw this coming when SARS was a thing. When SARS died down, it was like, yeah, if we don't shut down these like wet markets in China, it's just going to happen again. And here we are. The only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn anything from history.
So I have a note here. Oh yeah, I forgot British people say anti-clockwise.
Instead of counterclockwise.
Yeah.
Counterculture.
Anti-culture.
Yeah, so I also have a note here. Suki, why did your acting get so bad when the doctor found you out? This is like the worst delivered line in the whole episode where she's like, well, yeah, I was doing fine until you showed up. And I'm like,
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
it's
This
like.
point in my notes, I also have another note. How did this get greenlit? I mean, honestly, this script feels like fan fiction levels because there's actually, I wrote this down, there's a line of dialogue between Jake and Adam. Jake says, "How are you feeling?" And Adam responds, "Dying." Didn't know dying was a
A
was like
state
a
of being
like yeah, like an adjective, like a proper response to that question.
could be could,
Or
it
like
is
an
now.
adverb, whatever.
I mean, to me, it feels like this story. This feels like one of those scripts that gets rejected the first time and then gets accepted the second time when the writer works on it for 3 months and fleshes it out more and fixes all the problems, except that it didn't get rejected the first time this time.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, that would have to be my guess. I guess we'll see at the end of the season, but I feel like this is probably going to be the one episode of the season that I just didn't really like.
Yeah,
And
I would say that this is easily the worst 13th Doctor episode.
in my opinion,
And
I mean, not
even
to say that's like it's even a stinker on the level of some of the other bad episodes we've gotten
no,
before.
it's not like a 0 out of like 10 or 5 like some previous Doctor Who episodes of a massacre. But like it's just not up to par with the rest of them this season.
We should do quarantine special episode of Doctor Who revisiting the massacre.
Oh God.
Not like we're doing anything better, except you are.
Yeah, I'm
Except
actually
I am as
right.
well. Anyway, the doctor's like, well, we gotta go get Yaz from the alien colony spaceship. And they go to Yaz. And so they decide to test the cure,
Yeah,
the antidote.
well, okay, so first of all, we should mention that they realize that the alien ship is on the at the bottom of the ocean, like
Yeah.
at the bottom of a trash whirlpool, which are real, by the way. There are like
Yeah.
dozens. I think they say in this episode there are five. I don't know if that's
I
true
think
or
she says
not,
half a dozen, yeah.
but I imagine there are like trash whirlpools
Yeah.
in the
Basically, where the
world.
ocean currents all coalesce into a single point, so all the trash that gets thrown in the ocean ends up there.
Yep.
It's kind of funny that immediately after this, I watched the Simpsons movie, which is like, if you've never watched the Simpsons movie, the plot of it is that the Springfield Lake is like so polluted that they dump even one more piece of trash in there, it'll just like become toxic. And then Homer, in order to avoid waiting in the line at the hazardous waste dump, decides to dump trash in the lake and basically starts this whole chain of events where the EPA shuts down the town and
Were
everything. So.
you just like looking up quarantine movies to watch? Like,
No. My roommate was just like, let's watch the Simpsons movie. And I'm like, okay, I'm not doing anything right now, so sure. So.
so Suki tries to like get on her little ship or whatever, but it's too late. She's already been infected.
Well, she was affected before because
Yeah.
she. This is so clunkily delivered. Like, this backstory is just thrown in here at the end. And Might have been cool if we had no idea who these aliens were, why they were on Earth. But Suki basically reveals that her entire planet got destroyed by Paraxias.
And they decided to use Earth as like a testing ground for a vaccine.
Yeah, they basically sent out these like...
This is not a vaccine.
Not a hospital ship, but like a... kind of like a hospital ship, a research ship, basically.
Yeah.
To develop a cure. And she got infected again by Paraxias, so she's got a double dose, which is not how that works, but anyway. And then she decides to test the vaccine on the antidote on herself, but the doctor's like, that was designed for humans. Like, there's no telling if it would work on you or not. She's like, well, I did it.
Oops. But doesn't work. She dies the same way the other people did.
Yeah, and the doctor's like, well, that sucks. Maybe the cure won't work. And then Adam just walks out and he's like, totally worked. And I'm like, wow, it worked. And then weirdly enough, reminded me of this other scene from The Simpsons, which I'll see if I can find for the show notes. But it's a scene where, it might be Mr. Burns. Someone's at the doctor and the doctor's like, you literally have like every disease known to man, but because you have every disease, you're totally fine. He's like, wow, I'm invincible. And the doctor shows this like metaphor. He's like, look at this door. And he's got a whole bunch of little diseases. He's like, see, they're all trying to get through the door at the same time, but they can't. So your body's in a perfect equilibrium state where you're still healthy. And I'm like, that's what this cure made up of two different viruses for this bacteria reminded me of. Like, okay, okay.
All right, so some more stuff happens, and here's my note for all of this. I'm literally not even paying attention anymore. That's what the note says. So I basically have no idea what happens now.
Okay, so the doctor, this is so transparently like televised from 3 minutes out. The doctor's like, okay, let's all get on the ship.
Telegraphed, you mean?
Yeah, well, sorry. Yeah. They get on the ship and the doctor's like, okay, so we have to disperse the antidote around the Earth. And then she's like, oh, wait, the ship's going to blow up if we go into space. Everybody off the ship will use the autopilot. And you can already tell autopilot's going to malfunction. Someone's going to have to fly the ship. And at first you're like, oh, it's going to be Jake. It's going to be Adam because he knows how to fly spaceships because he went to the ISS. Turns out, no, it's Jake. Jeez, why do I keep getting them mixed up? So he's flying the ship and they're like, wow. Why would you do that, Jake? And he's like, well, somebody's got to pilot the ship and disperse the cure around the atmosphere. So the doctor's like, great. And they're all watching him, like, throw his life away. Adam's like, this is not what I want. And Jake's like, maybe it's what I want. And he's like, wow, that's selfish. Anyway, I'm pretty sure it's Gabriella's like, can you save him? And the doctor's like, yes. And she does.
Yeah. Katarina style. Oh, whoops.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Also, like, Adric style, more relevant. Like, literally, I was like, oh, but Adam will never know if he's right. Or Jake, sorry. Jake will never know
if
he's
really
right.
Yeah, you really want to call him Adam and the other one Jake, don't you?
Yes, I don't know why. Jake will never know if he's right. But turns out the doctor could just materialize around him at the exact second the ship blows up, which is like... You have to wonder now why they didn't do that for Adric. Just the exact moment.
Throw that out there.
Yeah, you know, I'm not the biggest Adric fan, as I think the podcast has made clear, but I'm just going to throw that out there. That, wow, even the doctor wasn't a fan of Adric, clearly.
So they wind up back on the beach in Madagascar. Someone has a line that says, the worst thing about saving the human race is that, like, well, no one will ever know that we did it or something. I think that was Jake, you know, really just adding fuel to the fire of, like, this whole Jake is a total selfish D-bag thing. But here, you know, what's really, you know, the worst thing about saving the human race is that they haven't stopped or even slowed the steady destruction of the of the planet at the hands of, like, microplastics and pollution. They just solved this one little crisis. Yep. Which, yeah, granted, saved humanity, but like...
That's as far as we know, because again, the detention of this episode is entirely manufactured.
Well, that's... I mean, I'm saying this in like a probably slightly humorous way at least, but like that is also the thing of like this episode tackles like the plastic pollution problem, but like at the end just offers this thing of like, yeah, you know, guess we just saved humanity. It doesn't really even touch on the problem.
Because I think this episode presents it as a problem insofar as it's not the pollution killing us, it's an alien bacteria that feeds off the plastic. But since the alien bacteria is gone, like, it feels at the end of the episode that because the alien bacteria is gone, it's totally fine for us to continue to pollute now. Because, again, in this episode, the problem was that the bacteria was feeding off the plastic. The problem wasn't that the plastic was everywhere.
Right. I mean, I think even if they had a single line at the end of, like, you know, this never would have happened if we, you know, we just took care of the planet and didn't, you know, pollute with microplastics and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That would have resolved a lot of this. And it wouldn't have, it would have felt like less shoehorned in than like some of the other random lines we've had this season. So,
but no, instead we get Earth, a planet with 7 billion people all connected.
Again. Because the Doctor ends with another voiceover. Could have even made it like the voiceover at the end.
Right.
Could have been a line like mirroring the beginning of the episode where I'm pretty sure she said something like life is great or something. At the end, she could have been like, life is great as long as humans aren't killing their own planet with plastics. Smash cut to the end. Obviously written better than that.
Yeah.
I'm like on isolation brain right now.
Cut to like a Matrix, like a guitar solo ending.
Cut to the Doctor opening like a cabinet door, revealing there's an entire alien race inside the cabinet, Men in Black style.
So that's Praxeus.
I have a lot of questions about this episode. Why was the American astronaut coming down on a Soyuz spaceship? That was like, as soon as the episode started, he's like, this is Soyuz coming in for a hard landing. I'm like, but you're American.
I thought he was British.
American.
Yeah.
At least I thought he was American, but even if he's British, again, Soyuz.
Yeah, he only had like two lines, so who can really tell?
For some reason, I thought he had an American flag patch on his shoulder, but maybe I'm confusing him with a Navy soldier who was American. They also find the submarine in the trash heap.
Yeah. I also have a lot of questions about this episode, like, why was it made?
I mean, as you always say when I ask that question, like, why was anything made?
Yeah.
You know?
True enough.
Why was anything made?
I'm sure there are some people out there who, like, actually think this is the best episode this season.
No, I'm sure. And that's, I mean, everybody likes different things. Everybody gets different things out of the episode, and that leads to enjoyment or lack thereof. For me, I just didn't enjoy this episode. Like, I was just completely indifferent to this episode, I think is actually the best way to put it. Like, I just didn't care.
Yeah.
Which is, like, probably indicative that the episode is more mediocre than bad, because the really bad ones I just actively dislike, whereas this one I'm just like, don't care.
Yeah, you know, I think we're railing into this one a little harder than we otherwise would, because I think we're both really enjoying Series 12.
Yeah, no, I think it's like the company it keeps makes it seem worse by comparison. Like, if this was an episode, obviously this would never happen, but let's say this was an episode in Series 8, I don't think we'd be that disappointed by
it. No.
Because I think it would be, you know, Series 7 too, like, this would be pretty similar in quality to quite a few of those episodes. Not all of them, but, like, quite a few. Just, like, completely almost inconsequential.
Not very interesting, even within itself.
And I'm sure there are people out there who, like, really love the environment or microplastics or are really passionate about that cause. And they're like, yeah, finally, Doctor Who tackling microplastics. And, you know, that I say more power to them. I want to briefly talk about something the Doctor says in this episode very quickly here, because I think it's interesting in terms of the Doctor's character. But when they land in the trash heap underwater, and the Doctor tells Jake and Adam to stay in the TARDIS, and she's leaving, and she wants Graham and Ryan to come with her, instead of saying, like, all right, you guys come with me, or like, Graham and Ryan, we're going, she just says, with me, which to me felt not out of place, but made me think it was very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it's very military-esque how she just says, with me. Because it seems like she's considering Graham and Ryan her subordinates, who should follow every order she gives them, so she doesn't even need to, like, address them by name or sugarcoat the phrase at all. She just says, like, let's go. But not let's go. She says it even more gruffly than that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is interesting in this whole context of
What happened last week?
What happened last week with And mm-hmm. also, like, the entire season with the Doctor being very cagey with her companions, and in Series 11, too, like, not telling them anything and being very reserved about the whole thing. And so it seems like she's treating them... She always... It's interesting because she always calls them fam and family and, like, friends, but then small little things like this make you wonder, like, is that all just an act?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is she just using them for self-validation? Something to think about. The one thing I do like about this episode, too, this is my final point of note for this episode, because I don't have any quotes for this week.
No, neither do I.
We've kind of dropped the quotes section because either everything is good or everything is bad. That's what I've noticed, is that either I want to write down, like, all the quotes in the episode or I don't want to write down anything. My final point of note, and the one thing I do like, is that this episode does kind of play into the trans/post-humanism vibe that a lot of this season has been giving off. I know we mentioned this in Spyfall and Orphan 55 and Tesla's Night of Terror. We didn't really touch on this in Fugitive of the Judoon, but I think that episode plays into it as well. But in this episode, there's a very big sense of, like, what are humans doing to the planet and what is that going to lead to? Kind of like Orphan 55, which seems an apt comparison because in Orphan 55, the Earth gets destroyed by pollution. And I guess maybe that's also why we're kind of railing into this harder than we might have, because Orphan 55 touched on a lot of these same themes earlier in the season and, in my opinion, in a better way.
Yeah.
But if there is in this episode that idea of, like, what's going to happen to humanity if they don't change their ways, what comes next, and also this idea of, like, splicing two viruses together, this, like, genetic editing in order to save or improve the human species, like doing all these biological experiments to improve humanity or the human race. So I do like that kind of aspect of it. I'm just kind of bummed it's in this story, but what are you going to do, right? I'm interested to see how the remaining episodes of the season play into that theme that I guess I'm just picking out of the season of, like, trans post-humanism. Because I think it's interesting. And I don't think it's... I think in some episodes it's definitely not subtle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah. Same here.
Well, no emails this week to respond to, but if you would like to email us, you can reach us at thedoctor@decadentvegetable.com. Questions, comments, concerns, angry rants, love letters, your thoughts on Praxeus, which is a really cool word to waste on such a disease. You can find us on YouTube at Decadent Vegetable. Find us at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify, all at Trust Your Doctor. Be sure to leave a rating if you like the show.
Us on Facebook, Trust Your Doctor. Like us on Facebook. Also check us on Twitter at TYD Podcast and follow us on Twitter. And next time we're watching Can You Hear Me? But until then, the end.